I was so happy when I saw that I get to read this scripture lesson this morning. I believe this familiar Bible passage speaks to me more than any other, and I'm always grateful for the reminder when I read it or when I hear it. Please listen to Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Israel asks, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And the answer, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Thanks be to God.
We have a second lesson this morning. This one also comes from the Old Testament, the Old Testament book of Zechariah, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Hear now the word of God. "In the 4th year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the 4th day of the 9th month, which is Kislev. Now the people of Bethel sent Sharazer and Regemmelech and their men to entreat the favor of the Lord and to ask the priests of the house of the Lord of hosts and prophets, 'Should I mourn and practice abstinence in the 5th month as I have done for so many years?' Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, 'Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you have fasted and lamented in the 5th month and in the 7th for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? And when you eat and when you drink and do you not eat and drink only for yourselves? Were not these the words of the Lord, that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity among the towns around it, and when the Negev and the Shephelah were inhabited? The word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another.'" Here ends our second reading. Let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the words of these passages of your Holy Scripture. As we reflect upon them this morning, may we be guided by your Holy Spirit. Amen. I heard of a church once where the personnel committee was ready to conduct its annual review of the pastor. And somebody on that search committee got really creative and decided on a unique way to start the review process. The committee asked the pastor to evaluate his ministry in comparison to Jesus. After a long and searching night, the pastor presented these words to the committee, and I quote, "Jesus walks on water, I slip on ice. Jesus changes water into wine, I change water into coffee. Jesus turns 5 loaves and 2 fishes into a banquet, I turn 2 pieces of toast into breakfast. Jesus welcomes the children, I have the children's sermon. Jesus raises the dead, I wake teenagers. Jesus cleanses lepers, I change dirty diapers." Of course, the pastor was reacting to the impossible standard that the personnel committee had set before him. How was he or anyone else going to measure up to Jesus? The people of Israel in the time of the prophet Zechariah did not have the opportunity to compare themselves to Jesus. That would come sometime later. But they did struggle with the problem of how does one measure up to God, or before God, might be a better way to say it. Zechariah was a prophet in Jerusalem in the 6th century before Christ. This was a period when the people of Israel were allowed to leave their exile in Persia and return to their homeland in Judea. It was a period of rebuilding and restoration for the nation. And as part of that restoration, the prophet was called out to make sure the people restored their relationship with God as well. Our passage begins with a delegation arriving in Jerusalem from the town of Bethel. What is interesting about this passage is that it gives a date for their arrival, the fourth year of King Darius, on the fourth day of the 9th month, and in the Hebrew calendar of the time. And because we know the reign of King Darius from outside history, this passage can be dated as occurring on December 7th, 518 BC. Mark your calendars, okay? This delegation had a question about fasting that they brought to the prophet, and the prophet, however, doesn't answer that question, but instead addresses their motivation. He asks of them, "Was it for me," meaning God, "that you fasted?" And then he follows that rhetorical question with another, "And when you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves only?" It is clear that he is not happy with the group from Bethel. And that would extend not happy with the whole of the returned nation of Israel. He knows that they have compartmentalized their faith, fasting without any real commitment, and then neglecting the practice of their faith the rest of the time. Today we might say he is a Sunday saint, but a Monday sinner. Christian pastor Michael Cruz once told of an incident he witnessed. A waitress in a restaurant who was carrying an open gallon container of salad dressing to the salad bar, when she tripped and launched the dressing all over a man wearing a brand new suit. The man went ballistic, cussing her out, calling her every name in the book. His wife joined in, fussing, and this poor waitress, demanding to see the manager, demanding from the manager that he write out a check right then and there to pay for his suit. One more thing happened on that Sunday afternoon. Where do you suppose that man in a suit in a restaurant was before he arrived there on a Sunday afternoon? Perhaps listening to a sermon about loving your neighbor as yourself. We've probably witnessed behaviors like that. And we probably have seen people we know, our faithful churchgoers, lose it at times like that. And this was the sort of behavior that Zechariah was concerned about. People could go through their religious rituals, but could not turn it into proper behavior the rest of their days. Zechariah then gives them the direction that the Lord requires of them. He says, "Render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." It Zechariah is not alone in making such a pronouncement. For just before he makes that pronouncement, he says to his visitors, "Were not these words, these the words that the Lord proclaimed by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity?" Thus, Zechariah reminds his listeners that for centuries the prophets had proclaimed this message, so it was not something new and surprising to them. It was something that they had heard over and over again. One of the former prophets that Zechariah was referring to was Micah, whom you heard Lori read this morning. And Micah perhaps had the most succinct rendition of this message of the prophets, certainly the most memorable. When 200 years before Zechariah, he proclaimed, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself down before God on high? He has told you, O mortal one, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. And there's probably no better prescription for how to live the Christian life than this. There's probably no better job description of what it means to live a life of discipleship, justice, kindness, and closeness to God is what's required. Do justice. Micah begins with a wonderfully rich Hebrew word, mishpat, which has all the meaning of justice in a legal sense, as one would find in the courts. But it means so much more. For this word means to establish God's order in every area of life, between nations, within society, even within our homes. It is an active word, aptly translated not as to be just, but to do justice. Yet so often for us, while we can be fair and just, we seldom find the energy or the inspiration to do justice. We need the example of Joe Pulowski, who was a World War II American soldier who happened to be on the Elbe River when the first Russians met the lead Americans near the end of the war in 1945. The soldiers from both sides made a pact to do what they could do to prevent such a catastrophe from happening again. Pulowski kept his promise. He spent his lifetime sending letters and telegrams and press releases to world leaders stressing international cooperation and calling for a halt to the spread of nuclear weapons. Every year on the anniversary of that meeting on the Elbe, Joe Pulowski held a vigil for peace until his death in 1985. He was neither powerful nor famous, and in every way a regular person, except that he knew that worrying about the world order was not enough. He knew he had to do what he could do, which is all that any of us are called to do. The word that Micah uses for love kindness in his command is hesed, which is another rich Hebrew word. It is a covenant word in Hebrew, meaning that one is bound up with one another in faithful covenant. Therefore, kindness comes from our closely bound ties to family and friends, for sure, but also to neighbors and even strangers, maybe especially strangers. Whereas justice is something that takes deliberate effort on our part, kindness is much simpler and grows out of that natural covenant with others. Loving kindness is something we do as part of our everyday lives. There was a wonderful story a while back about an older woman named Marnie Adams. Marnie Adams, a woman who went to a branch of the post office in her town because the postal employees there were particularly kind and friendly. She went there to buy stamps just before Christmas one year, and the lines were particularly long. Someone pointed out that there was no need to wait in line because there was a stamp machine in the post office lobby. "I know," said Marnie, "but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis." We live in a very efficient world where human contact is replaced by mechanical devices. And we live in a very fearful world where our safety requires distance from those we do not know, and sometimes even those we do. Which makes it all the more important that we who would do the job as Christians find simple but constant ways to show loving kindness to others, even if it is just a sincere question about one's well-being. Finally, Micah tells us that we should walk humbly with our God, a climax to his instructions of right living. The key word behind this might be better translated as attentively. Walk attentively with your God. And I like that. It's an especially beautiful image. When I was a kid, I used to visit my friend who lived on the other side of a small wooded area between our houses. Usually I would head to my friend's house as quickly as I could so that I could play with him as long as I could. But every once in a while, when I got to my friend's house, he wasn't there. And then I returned to my home slowly, walking through the woods that I had just run through. And I walked at a very slow, leisurely pace. It was those slow walks through those same woods that I ran through all the time that allowed me to discover the bird's nest in the empty hollow in a big tree, and the mushrooms growing under a log, and all the other things I missed when I went too fast. And that's how I imagine our walk with God to be. Too often we move too fast to pay attention to God's way in our world and in our lives. But if we walk attentively, God's guidance is there in our lives, and we find our way much easier. What would it take for each of us to look for the work of God in every relationship we have, with our friends and neighbors and families, but also with our difficult boss, the obstinate child, the grumpy neighbor? In the same way, each challenge that life presents can be seen differently if one looks for how God is present in that situation. So what is pleasing to God? To pay attention to God's presence with us, to share a kind word or kind deed as often as possible, and do what we can to bring order and justice to our world. This is, in short, what God has been telling us to do since the first prophets. And if we're able to do that, that indeed would be pleasing to God. Amen.